2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. I hope I didn't mislead you by letting you know that we had finished the expansion of the word study to think that we were off of this verse or topic. That wasn't the intent. So we're going to be on this for a while. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read these verses once again, verses 14 through 26. Who knows, maybe by the end of the year we'll have this memorized, amen? That could be the case. You'll say, I don't have to open my Bible, Pastor, I got it memorized. Good. We'll read the even verses together, beginning together in verse 14 and ending together in verse 26. I'll read the odd verses by myself in between, and we'll start together in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As I mentioned in the prayer, we are going to look at the third word of this verse, and we are going to look at what it means in our Christian life. And as we look at this word, we're going to see this word. It's a word, if you will, it's the Old English spelling of the word, S-H-E-W. It's pronounced show. You can say shoe or whatever you want to say, but it depends on what phonetic ending you want to put on it. I think kids in general like the ew sound, right? Ew. You know, that's just this is a fun sound, you know, whatever it might be. But the word is the same either way. OK, shoe or show. It's a word, and it means something that's an exhibit. That's what it means. It's an exhibit. It's a display. It's something manifested. That's what it means to show. Right. When you were a kid, how many of you loved, I know in my elementary school, I think it was like a Friday. Usually Fridays were the day for show and tell, right? Wasn't show and tell great? How many of you had show and tell? Yes, yes, amen. Show and tell was always great, right? Now, how many of you loved show and tell? How many of you hated show and tell? Did anybody hate show and tell? Yeah, because you didn't like getting up in front of people, right? Is that it? Or you didn't have anything to show? Nothing to tell, okay? I don't know. I think it was in like in the third grade. We lived up on a hill on Sikarsi Drive in Valley City, North Dakota. And I had gotten for Christmas, I think it was, how many of you liked back in the 80s? I guess this would have been about 83, probably 84, somewhere in there, 1980s. Anybody remember the 1980s? Okay, good. Yeah, good time of life. 1982 was a special time, wasn't it, dear? 1982, was that a good year? Miss Lauren? A good year? Okay. They were born in 1982. I remember, G.I. Joe, right? Yes. Real American Hero, right? G.I. Joe was there. There's a cartoon on TV and the toys. I mean, I had a lot of them, but for that Christmas, I had gotten the helicopter. How many of you remember the helicopter? Very cool. Yeah, I had the missiles and everything on the wings there, the pieces. Man, I remember how I got to school. There was there were houses, but then there was like a wooded area, but it was going down a hill. And I remember going down the hill, and I had my helicopter, you know, and it was all excited and everything. And we got down there, got to school, and showed my helicopter, and it was great. And on the way home, I lost some of the missiles fell off, and I lost them in the woods. I was just devastated as a kid, you know, just devastating. But anyways, that's just a childhood memory I have. You know, I got to show something. I got to manifest something, right, that I possessed, okay? So if you want to think about it, this is not just physical. Just like the word study, everybody says the word show, you know, it's something that's Pastor, that's works. That's the physical labor. That's the physical effort. That's okay, but it's also intellectual. You know how much I value coincidences, right? Can I tell you something? It's of no coincidence that this semester in Bible college, I'm teaching a class called Tests and Measurements. You know what tests and measurements are? They're a display of the knowledge you've gained. That's what tests and measurements are. They're an evaluation of what you know. Okay? Let me just give you a little bit of a clue about this teacher. I'm the teacher that the students don't cheer about, okay? Because I do not believe in extra credit. Boo, right? Boo. I don't. You know why? Because it's not a proper evaluation. As a teacher, what do I want to measure? What they've learned, right? I don't care how good they are at puns or riddles or useless knowledge. I mean, they can go on Jeopardy for that, for all I care. But not my class, because I want to measure what they've learned, okay? So I'm not an extra credit fan. I'm also not an open note test guy. How many of you like the open note test? Yeah. Sure, you like it, but you really don't, because it doesn't show. Now, if you're the kind of teacher that wants to give an open note test to see how well kids can use their notes, that's a proper measurement. I'm for that. You know, from time to time, you might have a test where you put the kids in a situation where they have to use just their notes to solve the test. But what are you testing? Are you testing their knowledge? No. You're testing their note-taking skills and abilities. Okay? That's good. Okay? I'm for that. Or maybe an open book test. What would you be doing if you said, okay, here's your textbook. Here's the test. What was the purpose? To test their knowledge? No. To test their use of a textbook. Now, is that valuable? Yeah, it is, sure. But why are you giving the test? So that's why I just gave you an overview of my class, okay? Tests and measurements. But what's it all about? It's about evaluating or properly measuring something that somebody either knows or has learned or has gleaned or gathered or now possesses. So when God says to us in 2 Timothy, he says, study, right? We got that. Do we all have that word down? Study. Should I give you a test and see? No. Okay. Labor, right? Be diligent, steady application, endeavor, earnest, the ardent pursuit and desire. And that's what we're doing. But for what? To just gather? Does God want us to do these things, to learn the Word of God, to read the Word of God, ingest the Word of God, hide God's Word in our heart, memorize the Word of God, just for our consumption, right? That's the purpose? No. It's to consume so that we can show, we can manifest, we can display. The Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence because what? What's the key word?
out of it. We input so we can output. That's the whole idea. And so as we kind of continue to work on this, yes, we ought to learn. Yes, we ought to gain knowledge. Yes, we ought to possess these things, have the renewing of our mind, have the adding to our faith, this and this and this and this and this, right? To do what? To show. That's exactly what we want to do. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. As you turn there, Webster has about a dozen definitions of the word show. To exhibit or present the view of others, to make or enable to see, to make or enable to perceive, to make know, to cause to understand, to make known, to teach or inform, to prove or manifest. That's what the word show means. Christian, study, set your mind, labor, be diligent, be earnest, endeavor, to, that's a preposition, show. To show, to display or manifest. Listen to what David says here, or look at it, in verses 1 through 14. David says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. By the way, in order to show forth all of God's marvelous works, what do you have to do? Either see them or learn about them. Because you cannot make known to someone else what you do not know yourself. Okay, there you go. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right cause, and thou sadest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. By the way, how does David know all this stuff? Because he studied God and the Word of God. It says here, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and for a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. By the way, what is that? That's a showing. If you know God, if you know God, you will put your trust in Him. That's showing God that you know something. That you know something about Him and His character. His being. It says here that, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Here he goes again. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. So David says, I'm going to show these things. I'm going to display these things. I'm going to manifest these things. And listen, he's not just talking about the things that he's experienced. God delivering him from this or God delivering him from that. He's also talking about the character of God. He knows the character of his God. He knows what he'll do for the righteous. He knows what he'll do for the poor. He knows what he'll do to the wicked and to the unjust. And he knows that even though he's enduring these things for a season, that eventually God will deliver him. And he even knows that in his difficulty, in his seasons of distress, God is still his refuge and his strength, his strong tower, his buckler, his shield. David knows these things. So he says, because I know them, I have them in my mind, I have them in my heart, I've been diligent to learn, I've been steady to study, I've been laboring night and day and upon my bed and in the night watches and all these things. He says, now I'm going to display them by showing your marvelous works to others. I'm going to sing your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I'm going to display and manifest these things of my God to others. Was David vocal about his knowledge of God? Very. I mean, how many of you enjoy reading the Psalms? Yeah, they're very enjoyable. I recommend, you should follow a reading schedule, but honestly, I think it's great that the book of Proverbs has those 31 chapters. That's wonderful, right? So like in a month of February, you could actually read 3 extra chapters. You know, you could read 29, 30, and 31. It's okay. It won't hurt you. And days of the month that have 30, it's okay to read chapter 31, maybe in chapter 30 together. That'd be all right. Right? But you can get through the book of Proverbs once a month. That's 12 times in a year. That's fantastic. You know what you also can do? You can take the book of Psalms and you can read through it. You say, well, man, but when I get to 119, I get bogged down. Well, divide it up. It works out. You can read, you know, a couple of chunks here, a couple of chunks there, and work it out that way. But, you know, it's just a good thing. Why should we have these as a part of our life? Because not only did David, but also Solomon, they displayed the knowledge that they had gleaned. They studied to show. You see, I want to make sure that we understand, just taking this little phrase, I'm not building a new doctrine, but I want you to understand, I'm building a way of living for us as Christians. We ought to read our Bibles, pray every day, study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, hide God's Word in our heart, to show, to display, to give it out, to put it out there, or paint a billboard, or put up a flashing slideshow projection of our life, of what we've learned about our God. It's not study to be smart. It's not study to gain knowledge and keep it to myself. It's not study to become a Dead Sea. It's study to show. That's the key. As we become a display, David was a display. This is in the Psalms, but it's also in 1 Chronicles. If you read through the lifetime of David, you'll see some of his Psalms that he had. Why? Because King Hezekiah and his scribes, they copied out some of these things of David's, right? Into the book of Psalms. We understand all that history, but he said in 1 Chronicles 16, he says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth." Now listen to this. From day to day, his salvation. So as we started out in life, and by the way, I told you life doesn't begin until we get saved. Okay? Now I'm not talking about the physical, I'm talking about the spiritual. You understand that? Because I believe physical life begins at conception. Okay? We settled that in our study of church membership and our doctrines. Okay? So, but when we get saved, What do we talk about? We've come to the knowledge of the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, right? So, from day one of accepting Christ as our Savior, what are we to do with that new life in Christ? I'll give you a clue. It's the title of the message today. Show. We're supposed to, once we're saved, we're supposed to show. We're supposed to delay. Day by day, show his salvation. David said, from day to day, show forth from day to day his salvation. Listen to this. Declare his glory among the heathen. Yeah. Folks, who is to get glory and honor and praise forever and ever? him. How can I do that? I can show it. I can display it. I can manifest it in my life. And by the way, did you catch there in the definitions that I read? To make others to know is to show. To make others, or if you will, to cause others to understand is to show. Folks, there are some people out there that just don't understand. They just don't know about our great God, and they need to, because we've learned about him. And we've learned about his marvelous works. We've consumed them. We've taken them into our minds. We've been transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can show forth from day to day his praises, his glory, his mighty works. Back over my paper here. He says, not only his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. And then Debbie gives a reason. As he's going through this, he says, we should do this. We should show forth from day to day salvation. We should declare his marvelous works. We should declare his glory among the heathen. He says, for. Because. As Paul is talking to Timothy, he says, study to show. And I think we can look to the intent of a father in the faith to a son in the faith. We can look at the intent of an apostle Paul who, my goodness, I don't know if I could give you a better example than the apostle Paul. We're going to go to Acts here. I'm going to show it to you, but he's so sincere and he's so eloquent to tell Timothy, learn, labor, be diligent, endeavor, be earnest, so that you can display our great God because, listen to this, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Do you need another reason, folks? Because he's so great, we should consume this book by osmosis, right? I mean, I guess I could walk around like this. I'd probably look really silly, but I might get a lot of conversations, right? Hey, we should this, if I could staple it to my head, that'd be cool. It would hurt too. But listen, if this could become our mind, oh man! Brother Losey and Brother Kiros and I have been researching microprocessors and computer stuff, you know, motherboards and RAM and memory and, hey, if this could be my computer chip for my brain, that everything is processed through, wouldn't that be cool? I need to turn this around because those little dangly thingies are distracting me. There we go. That would be so cool. If everything that we did could be processed through this book. Wouldn't that be cool? So that the output, that the display on the screen could be all about our God. Well, I mean, I know it's a silly illustration, but goodness, isn't it appropriate? Study to show. My hair's probably messed up. Now you're going to be distracted the rest of the service. Study to show thyself, to declare his glory among the heathen, because he's great. I could just say amen right there. You're like, yes, please. It's the first time you've ever quit before 12 o'clock. Don't say amen there. That's the wrong place to say amen. Now I know how he really feels. All right. 1 Timothy 1. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And by the way, this is my life verse. If I've signed your Bible, I've probably signed it 1 Timothy 1:12. Okay? Some of you are looking in your Bibles. You're like, what? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That was Paul's sentiment, okay? And here's what he says. Who before, this is verse 13, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me just say something to you. We're going to talk about Paul and his character and his life. Pre-Christ Jesus, was Paul a display of what he believed? Absolutely he was. Was he sold out? Did everybody know who and what he was? Oh yes. Oh yes he was. Boy, and by the way, did he study to show? Yeah. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned the faith. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was holding the coats, giving consent to stone Stephen to death. And by the way, he's the one that sought letters from the Sanhedrin to go and persecute the Jews. He was on it, folks. He was on fire. He was a display. He was a manifestation of a zealous person, right? Did that change after he got saved? No. No, he just changed his subject, what he set his mind on. And he went full bore in the other direction. Acts 26, if you want to turn over there. I love this passage of scripture. You know that. I've taught it in Sunday school, but I've preached on this also before. By the way, some of you may remember, I may resurrect it, I'm not sure. I think one of the, either, if not the first, but one of the first messages I preached here was talking about the vessels unto honor here out of this chapter that we've read over a few times. That was many moons ago, right? But look at Paul's testimony. He's talking about his conversion experience, and he said in verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So what is Jesus saying here? He says, Paul, I'm going to take you to school. And by the way, did Jesus take Paul to school? Oh yeah. And he taught him and he showed him and he put into him for what purpose? Jesus said, I got a purpose for you, Paul. The purpose is I want you, Paul, to study to show. He said, Jesus told me, he said here that I'm going to make you a minister and a witness of what you've learned, Paul. I want you to speak it to others. I want you to manifest it. I want you to cause others to know these things. He tells the judges here. He says minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things of the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom thou now I send thee. Why? To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Then he tells Agrippa, he says, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, remember I told you that this is an imperative sentence. You, understood you, you study to show. That's a command. That's God saying to us, Christian, labor, be diligent, be earnest, endeavor to set your mind upon for a cause to show. Listen to what Paul said, or look at it. He says this, to open their eyes, he gives the purpose, right? He says, Whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but listen to this. Look at the next two words. But, what's the word? Showed. Folks, there's no mistake. I know this little word. You say, how can you build a whole message on one little word, show? It's such a common word, such a simple word. Oh, no. No, not common. And I'm not talking about the spelling. I'm talking about the meaning, the display, the manifestation. He said, I wasn't disobedient. He said, I was obedient because I went and showed. Study to show. Remember over in the New Testament, we talked about in James how faith without works is what? Dead being alone. Because if we just say we have faith, if we just gather, but never put out, it's dead. Hence the word dead sea. Gathers, so that nothing's alive. But if it were to gather and put out, it would be the alive sea, not the dead sea. Don't be a dead Christian, be an alive Christian. Don't gather, gather and give. Gather, give, gather, give, gather, give. Say that 10 times fast. Okay. Now, in James's account of telling us that faith without works is dead, he uses a man named, anybody? Abraham. Remember Abraham? We talked about him in our Sunday school class in Genesis, right? He said, look, Abraham was justified by his works. It says, James says, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. So, everybody thinks of that as a work, right? As a physical activity. But if you go there to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9, the account of this story, you actually see the intellectual battle that this was. Not a physical battle. It was an intellectual battle. Think about this. When God informed Abraham that this was something he wanted him to do, right? We see that Abraham obeyed. He did not argue. He did not contest it. He just did it. He received and he showed. And by the way, he was even able to instruct and to teach and to pass on to his son this knowledge. What did Isaac do when his father told him what was going to happen? He allowed his father to bind him. Does that display understanding? Folks, I don't think you understand the gravity of this. Abraham told his son, son, I'm going to kill you. And the son says, bye-bye. I'm out of here. You understand? Do you understand that? Could he have done that, folks? Yeah. I mean, if my dad ever said, son, I'm going to kill you, I'm out of here. I'm not staying around because he just might do it. My dad's a man of his word, you know, that's okay. I must have done something pretty serious. No, but listen to me. He laid everything in order. He told his son about it. And I want you to listen to what he says here. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. By the way, why is Abraham doing this? Because God told him to. And what is he doing? He's displaying the knowledge, right, in his life. Look what he does. Look what is said here. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And the angel said, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. Now I want you to understand this next statement is the faith without works part. Or the faith with works and the showing of it, the display of it. The angel of the Lord says this unique phrase. Thank you, Christopher, that's fantastic. Good amen there. You're teaching him early, that's great. He says this. I gotta find my spot now. All right. I stepped over here and then I came back over here. Okay. This is what the angel says. He says, for now I know. This was an evaluation. This is a test and a measurement to see what Abraham had learned. Listen, folks, the angel of the Lord says, and again, this is a curious statement. He says, for now I know. God, you know everything. How can you just now know this if you knew it before and understood it before? What? That's weird. That's curious. It's strange. But why did he now know it? Because he actually saw Abraham do it. Abraham displayed it. Folks, there's a lot of things we're supposed to know. But maybe God says, hey, I don't know if they know it or not because they've never displayed it. They've never manifested it. They've taken it in. Oh yes, they know soul winning is great, but they've never won a soul. Oh, they know tithing is right, but they've never given a dollar. Oh, they know that living a pure and honest and Christian life is right, but yet they sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. Study to show. I know this is so simple, but it's a reality. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Our Savior, the greatest example of all. I went too far. I went to the Old Testament. Luke chapter 2. I love this. I have this memorized. I don't really need this, but I want to read it to you anyways. This is another one of those curious statements in the Bible, right? Because how in the world is this possible? About our Savior, but it's so indicative of our human life. Okay, Christ was God and man at the same time, folks. You understand that? But I want you to look at verse 52. This is a story when you remember when Jesus stayed around and he was there in Jerusalem and he was testing the knowledge of the religious hierarchy there and stuff. And they were astonished at his answers and all that stuff. But his parents left him behind. They lost Jesus. they came back and he told them he needed to be about his father's business. But verse 52 is such a mind, to me, it's probably one of the most mind-blowing verses in the Bible. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. I mean, that's normal, right? For a human being to increase in wisdom and stature. At least I hope so, right? Some of our statures are increasing this way, maybe, but instead of this way. But you should increase in wisdom. And by the way, did Jesus display that? He did. We know that by the next verse. On the next part of the verse, look at what it says. It says, and in favor. How do you increase in favor? By showing, by a display, by a manifestation. But this is what kicks my brain off. Okay, he increased with favor with man. I get it. But how does the blessed, precious, only begotten, beloved Son of God increase in favor with God? I mean, right there. Mind blown. Okay, back to our verse. This is where this applies. We're going to connect the dots and I'm going to pray. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Folks, we need to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What is that going to take? A display. A display. Jesus was subject unto his parents. He was the model kid. He was the model citizen. He was the model Christian. He was the model scholar. He was the model everything to us, folks. Because he displayed it all. He manifested it all. He showed it. We need to show ourselves approved. Study, labor, be diligent, endeavor, be earnest, set your mind on it, set your heart on it, and then show it. Manifest it, display it, so others can see your great God.